Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride. Welcome to Hacking Love, Deepening Commitment Through Open Relationships. I'm Anna.
And I'm Aiden. We're thrilled to have you on this journey.
Together for 3 years now, we both came from long marriages and found ourselves craving a fresh approach to love and connection. Traditional monogamy just didn't resonate with us anymore, and we realized that exploring ethical non-monogamy could be the key to deepening our relationship and enriching our lives. In this podcast, we'll share our experiences, insights, and the lessons we've learned along the way. We want to create a space where you can feel comfortable exploring new ideas about relationships, whether you're curious about E&M or just seeking solutions for challenges in your current partnership. So if you're ready to rethink what love can look like, tune in as we dive into the world of ethical non-monogamy and discover how it can revolutionize your relationships. Welcome to Hacking Love.
Okay, so you were just saying you were thinking about the lifestyle today, and I wanted to record it, and I don't even know what it's about, so let's go.
So we don't know what episode this will be or what part of an episode it might be, but I was thinking about it. I've been, just the more that we go to lifestyle parties and interact with different people, I'm realizing like how much of my conditioning or what I think I like or what I think turns me on is so based in the roles that I was taught that are okay for women to have. Like, I'm not supposed to be a slut. I'm supposed to be super selective in who I'm hooking up with. I'm supposed to not have a high body count. I am supposed to be monogamous. Mm-hmm. That sleeping with anyone besides you makes me less desirable. And there are a lot of stories in my head about that, like from my parents, even my dad especially, and I loved him. We had a great relationship. That was just how he grew up as a baby boomer.
But he was very much about, quote, protecting you from guys.
Yes.
At a very early age.
Guys only want one thing. Right. You don't want to ever get used. Mm-hmm. This whole narrative. There wasn't really an acknowledgement of, as a woman, that you could have and want your own sexual pleasure and seek that out, like the way boys are raised, right? Mm-hmm. To seek their pleasure, to explore, to sleep with as many women as possible, as that is a positive thing for boys and men.
That's interesting because my dad, I remember in seventh grade, I came home with a hickey on my neck.
Mm.
And my mom was like, what is that on your neck? And my dad was like, thumbs up.
High five.
Like, yeah, he was very supportive of me getting with the ladies.
Exactly.
And he always was.
Exactly.
He was very encouraging about that.
And what happens if a girl comes home with a hickey? She gets slut shamed.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen. And I don't know why this never occurred to me, but of course, this is just one more thing that the lifestyle puts front and center in front of you, because you're experiencing things you would never experience before. And you're confronted with, you may have different feelings and different desires than you thought you did, because you convince yourself, when you're trained and conditioned, you convince yourself that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I certainly have. So now I just feel like, I don't know how much I have to say on the topic other than I feel like my brain is a little discombobulated right now about where to put all of that. And I think that's part of the process, probably, and probably one of the reasons that women find the lifestyle so freeing and so integral to their personal growth. And, you know, where it's the men usually driving it, and then the women are like, I don't know, this is really weird. And I think we're reluctant, because I know I was reluctant. I was like, if you see me sleep with other people, you are not going to want to marry me. You are not going to trust me. You are not going to see me as a desirable woman. I will be seen as used up.
Mm-hmm. Wrong.
Okay. And you of all people, I actually believe that. You're very enlightened.
Took you a while, though.
Yeah, no.
To believe that.
Really? Wait. It took me a while to believe that. I'm still working on it, honestly. I believe it intellectually. But there is still a piece of me that's not really safe to do for him to see you do that with a whole bunch of guys or one guy after that. What I'm hoping, I guess, and what I imagine is that this is going to be a process of self-discovery, and it's probably going to be in little bits, that it's not going to be overnight, that I'm like, no inhibitions and my conditioning is completely gone and I'm completely in tune with, I want to do this and now I'm going to do this.
Well, that's what's happened over the last year. You've come from like a strict no on that to definitely exploring it. And now you're really thinking and considering mm-hmm. what that means for you. And I think that's awesome. And I think for me, you'll know I'm into it when on our next date.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. What you're saying is I was raised to be selective and prissy, not prissy, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but prudish and
right.
and mono and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a situation where you're not that because you're with someone else with me there.
I am, right? So, it's going to be 6 months since the last time I had sex with somebody else besides you. So super selective, definitely. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's okay. And then maybe another 6 months, right? That's, I feel like I'm still in that. And it's my conditioning about what that is.
Right.
And I've got to.
Which also you might want to question.
Exactly. Because in the lifestyle, I don't know how to be with man sexually just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have experience doing that. I have experience with serial monogamy. That if I'm sleeping with somebody, it means there's at least the possibility of a long-term relationship with them. That's not what swinging is all at all.
You've had one-night stands before.
I have.
In your 20s?
In my 20s. But it was a different dynamic. They were all really great guys who definitely wanted to date me. And
I see.
There was alcohol involved, and of course that changes things too, and you're just young. But that's...
Booty call guy.
I knew him very well. He was really smart and good looking. And this was in grad school where I just got really horny and booty called somebody who I knew had a crush on me. And he came right over.
And that was part of it is you knew he had a crush on you too.
I did.
And you're both single. So that's different from now.
Very different. Mm-hmm. Just different dynamic. And nobody knew, right? I wasn't doing anything in front of a huge group of people where I was... Potentially my reputation was being sullied, right? Like, right. I was in the privacy of my little efficiency apartment. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what a whore I was being. Nobody knew that I'd booty called anybody. Like, nobody ever knew I'd slept with them.
It's different.
For women, like, keeping our body count a secret, like, mm-hmm. that's drilled into our heads, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know. I can imagine that eventually that might change. It feels really dangerous for me to lose that selectivity piece.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm just going to be less than in your eyes. Even if you know intellectually that I'm not, that just by virtue of being brought up as a man in the United States, that you won't be able to help yourself but see me as less than.
Right.
For being.
I totally get that. Men. But I also think that, especially with someone you love,
mm-hmm.
that you know really well, and I know where your heart's at, and I know our connection,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't even enter my mind. There's no chance I would think, ooh, what she does. It's more, it's hot. It's totally the reverse in my feeling and how I approach it. How I view it is, look at her getting off. This is fucking great. And I can't say it's without my own, like, jealousy and fear of loss. We've talked about all that before.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, through all these experiences, ever felt anything close to that.
Really?
At all. Like, not even a thought. It's more about my feelings. It has been more about my feelings, which have been, like I've said before, conflicted in the beginning because mm-hmm. it's so new, like watching you kiss a guy and watching you fuck a guy. This is crazy. But it's me. It's me that's thinking about how I feel about it. With you, it's just you're doing what you're doing. I never felt any sort of shame on your part or any sort of ickiness or anything. Still haven't. And I never will. I just don't think I will.
That's pretty enlightened.
I think it's an over time thing. And I don't know. I wouldn't. The only negative feelings I would have in that situation would would be when trust is being eroded. And in that case, that would be a different feeling.
Right? What would that look like for you?
Feelings of trust and betrayal, and that you want somebody more than me and you're not telling me the truth. That's always been my thing. It's just, and that's why I think our truthing on all this is so important.
Letting you know how attracted I am to them and not downplaying it. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that's helpful. I want to know that. But more about before we broke up, it's the shadiness or the texting, all that stuff. That to me is hurtful.
Yeah.
But when it comes to other guys and we're totally all in agreement, there's nothing wrong with that to me. And you know me, I've never really slut-shamed anybody in my life. I've never felt like a woman who likes sex was ever something bad. And I was that guy that I would sleep with women in, say, high school or college, and I would never tell people about it unless they were just close friends, but I wasn't like one of those braggarts and what a slut she was, and I was just never that guy. And I never understood why guys were like that, because my logical mind told me at the time, that girl's never going to sleep with you again, and you're going to get a reputation for talking about it, and that's going to keep you from getting more pussy. What are you doing? To me, it didn't make any logical sense to shame women, but also I didn't want to shame women. I've always loved women. And I've always felt like they have their own desires and stuff. And I just never had that slut-shaming mentality.
You see them as human beings.
Yeah.
And not as objects.
Yeah, I think so. To the most part. For the most part, I think I'm... Sometimes you're an object to me and it's fucking awesome.
Oh my God.
No, but I
right. Like the honesty there.
Yeah, no, I just... But there's never... I think this thing you're bringing up about feeling like... this is going countering my programming. It doesn't do that for me. There's no programming in me that says she's a slut because she likes to fuck. Now, if you were like taking 500 dicks in a row, I would think that would be a feat and something that would be, wow, that's really amazing. But I don't know. It just doesn't really, especially with you, because I know you, it doesn't enter my mind. And you are slutty and I like it.
It would concern me, a bunch of dicks in a row, like again, that concerns me about like safety. And,
yeah, but that's beside the point.
Like it's I want to know the guys because I want it, because of the safety issue. Right. I don't want.
But that's a totally different podcast.
It is.
Topic. It's more about how you feel as a person. Yeah. And if you like getting off, what's wrong with that? Mm. All the relationship stuff is different. It's secondary to that.
Yeah.
It's just another way to think about it. But when it comes to judging you for following your instincts, that doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't, align.
Okay.
So
the couple that we were talking to, she was telling me that her partner, when they went to a hotel takeover and she was in an orgy situation with a whole lot of different men, that he had a comment to her afterward that he was happy for her, but he was also of the opinion that half those guys did not deserve to be inside you.
Yeah, I thought about that. And to me, I'm not gonna put thoughts in his head, but there's a little bit of jealousy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of insecurity on his part to say that.
Mm.
Because it obviously bothered him in some way, and that's a really nice way to say that kind of bothered me. And it probably bothered him from the fact that his girlfriend's getting ran by so many guys, and I could see that being an issue. That's something that could come up for him.
It's interesting though, because for me, if you were sleeping with a whole bunch of different women at a party, I would have more jealousy issues with the ones who were most deserving. Who most deserved you.
That's interesting.
Who were the hottest, most attractive, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm most comfortable if you're with threes and below.
we've talked about that.
That makes me feel very secure.
Yeah, I'm not that comfortable.
No, I know. Obviously, we don't. That is not the goal in the lifestyle. Like we've said this before, to have bad sex with people we're not attracted to. But yeah, that's interesting. But I wondered when she said that, I was like, I wonder if part of that is that conditioning of men to be like, oh, I don't want to see my woman as someone who just takes random dick. I want to see my woman as
that
someone
may be what's
who
behind
is
that.
Selective.
That may be what's behind that for him.
Yeah.
And it's a shock to the system because they're as new to this as we are, we've discovered. And that's, if she was in a gangbang or she was obviously in some sort of group play party, he's adjusting to that. But obviously it isn't affecting them. He's learning. She's learning.
Yeah.
And I think that's just one of those steps. They had a step.
Right, exactly.
And they saw the step and he was a little uncomfortable about it, but it hasn't stopped them from being close, staying the lifestyle, seeing us. I think it's just natural. These thoughts that you have, the thought that he had, are behind... it's the thing that's being addressed.
Right.
Right. And I think what you're thinking, you're reprogramming. You're questioning why you feel that way. Yeah. And that's part of the, I say healing, but that's part of the process, is that you're questioning. You're like, okay, what do I really want?
Yeah.
And my guess about you, I'll go out on a limb here. My guess is about you. Is you're a very sexual person. You love it. You love the connection. You love orgasms. You love the closeness mm-hmm. with someone. And but there are some programmatic societal lines in there for you mm-hmm. that you're bumping up against.
Yeah.
Like, I like this thing. And maybe I'd like it with someone who, like, recently you had an experience with someone, not all the way, but you had an experience with someone. He played around with you. And you're like, I like that. And you were conflicted about that. Dang. You're like, wait a minute. I like him as a person. And so you worked through that, right?
Yeah, we ended up talking at the last party we went to for a long time. And then we didn't kiss, but at some point he started fingering me a little bit.
And you liked it.
Kissing my boobs, and it felt really good. And because we had talked and connected, it felt not, and I was shocked by it. And then I thought, like, where do I put that? Like,
clearly in your pussy.
I know, but I don't want to be, I was like, but this is a guy, and I don't even know, because I've made assumptions about people in the past and I could be completely wrong. I assumed he was somebody who's just slept with everybody in our group. And so that a little bit, I was like, I don't want to be just one more, right? I feel like that's going to make me look like less valuable, right? That's, oh, that, God, that is so embarrassing to admit.
That is still in your head.
So embarrassing.
That is definitely programming. It's also part of your, we've mentioned Enneagrams before, and threes are very concerned about status, and they're very concerned about how things look.
Uh-huh.
And you have a little three in you, and that makes sense, right? Based on kind of what your personality is. You're not a status seeker, but you're definitely aware of it.
It's about fitting in and wanting, because I'm a two wing three, so my core is people pleasing. So achievement becomes part of my way that I'm pleasing others with my image.
Yes.
Or I think well I'm said. Pleasing others well with said. My image, yeah. If that makes sense.
I think at some point you're going to see that's not an issue for other people. And I don't know that it is at all. You had this image of the guy you should be with, which is a
picky swinger who's got all the resume or whatever. And I don't know this guy's resume. I know he's like super popular and everybody loves him. I've always liked him. He's one of those just
I love him. He's a great
extremely
guy.
Open,
good guy,
so happy, so loving, and just one of the most positive people I've ever met. So it should not be surprising that once I got to know him and spent one-on-one time with him, because that's my favorite thing. That is how I become attracted to people. That happened. But it was surprising to me. I just did not expect to enjoy that as much as I... It was a very brief little period, but it was extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was...
I had no idea any of this was going on.
That's because it was like seconds.
but it was because of where you were sitting and I was DJing.
When I was right in front of you.
Right, I know, but I couldn't really see. I knew that like you were close and you were snuggling up and that was all fine.
Yeah, I'd been sitting
but I had no idea his fingers were opening.
It was very brief. I don't know how many people saw it.
We had a towel on you.
We had.
Nobody saw it.
Okay. All right. Oh my God.
And why is that an issue?
I don't want to be a whore.
But you do.
I know, exactly.
You do want to be a whore, but you don't want to be a whore.
I don't want people to think I'm a whore.
No one thinks you're a whore in the lifestyle, babe.
Oh, my God, I know.
They're wondering why you're not putting out more.
It is literally, you are living in this one world with this one set of rules, and this book, what is the book that I'm reading? Is it called Open Deeply?
Yeah.
Okay. And she likened it to basically you're in a whole new land with a whole new language with a whole new legal system.
Yeah, like, it is.
And it's...
That's really interesting.
I don't know where, I'm like, I had all these ideas about where I fit in and who I am based on this structure. And now I'm like, shit.
It's brand new rules.
I know.
And brand new, and fortunately those rules are open, accepting, fun, empowering. And it's different. Because think of all the rules that we had before. They were not open.
Yeah.
A little bit oppressive, not that fun. I mean, they're fun within terrible. The confines of the rules and not empowering. And no, so
it's not for women, especially.
A positive side to the lifestyle, and that those are positive attributes.
But so. I have it in my head. It's this voice. I don't know where it comes from, but it's no man is going to marry you if you're known as promiscuous. That
came from your father at age 6.
Yeah.
And your dad was wrong. Yeah. At least you found the right guy for it.
I did.
So anyway, so I like that. I like that you're, this is just my observation, but I just like that you're considering these things, and they're, I think it's all healthy growth. And I don't know what it means for us. I don't know what it means a year from now when all of those rules are gone and you're totally different, approaching things differently.
Yeah.
But I think it's all been positive progress so far.
I think I learned that there is a part of me that I did think was me and still is me, is that I am very sapiosexual or I require a connection. What's the one where you require a connection?
Demisexual.
That I require that connection to experience attraction to someone. And there is a good conversation where I get to know somebody over time, which will probably happen with other people in this group if we keep hanging out with them. The more I get to know people, the more comfortable I am.
Maybe that's what's happened with them. Maybe they all went through this too.
Honestly.
And they just started to get to know each other, went to the same parties, got closer.
Maybe that's what happened to the guy, honestly, with me at the party. He's hung around with me long enough that he felt like he could come up and be like, yeah, come here, sit in my lap. He's never done that before.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a slow burn person too. Who knows, right?
Or maybe just took the right opportunity when you were alone on the couch and watching me DJ and not paying attention to you.
Yeah.
That's just good guy move right
left
there.
Left me alone at the forest.
And I did.
All by myself.
Eaten by a lion.
Yeah. Little prey sitting there perched on a chair. And there was another passage in the book that I thought was really interesting. It was about a couple, actually two women, who went to Burning Man. And they had 1 year they went together, and they basically spent the entire time together. And it was very romantic, and they would watch the sun come up together, and they would go see art during the day and then dance all night. And then the next year, one of the women in the couple said that she wanted some more freedom to do things by herself. And the other partner was like, oh, okay, whatever, and didn't really realize what it was. And then she basically went off by herself all the time and had sex with all kinds of people, went to the orgy dome by herself, and would come home at 2 a.m. and barely saw her partner during the burn, and really hurt her partner's feelings. Mm-hmm. They had to have some processing about that. But what it made me think was like, what would I do if left to my own devices?
Mm-hmm.
What would I choose to do? What would I really want to do? And I think there's so much wrapped up in that as a woman, not only the conditioning, but the safety issues. I started to think about, what if we went to Burning Man again? And you were like, yeah, this will be our day where we're just going to do whatever. And you go fuck random women all over Burning Man. And I go,
doesn't happen for me there.
You don't know
that.
You
could easily make it happen.
But
maybe it would happen now. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it would.
When I was married for a lot of times, I went there.
This is true. But in your confidence now is you just have a completely different aura about you. But just the idea of getting to a point where I would have a day like that and I would know exactly what I wanted to do and I could do it without worrying about conditioning.
And then I thought, that's very appealing to you.
No, it is appealing. But then as a woman, there's a safety issue that
there
I'm like,
that.
So I just,
that.
I don't know if I would take that chance of running around Burning Man by myself. And I think if you're going to do it, it's probably Burning Man is a safe place. But I do have in the back of my mind worry about diseases and sexual assault. And so I would definitely want to keep my wits about me. But I still don't know if I would do that, even if I could. So I think the nice thing about our group is that we're getting familiarity and trust with a smaller group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bunch of strangers.
Right. There's definitely a safety issue to that. And
yeah,
that woman was brave, and many people are brave at Burning Man for that, to go off on their own and do those kinds of things, because it is a safer environment. You can go to bars downtown and
do that.
So it's, and that, I think that woman probably just took advantage of the fact that she could just explore what she wants without anyone telling her what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that would be very appealing to you, because I just know you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just going out for an afternoon. Maybe just doing your own thing alone without sex. Just maybe just doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And I remember being out on the playa with you a little bit, and also with my ex-wife, where that's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to think, okay, she's going to go off and do something. What's going to happen? What's she going to do?
Mm.
And this is when I was not in lifestyle, obviously. But now, to me, it would be like, if something like that made you happy and it was something you want to do to explore yourself, I think that would be pretty cool. I just get the stories later. I think I'd be okay with it.
I like the idea of, having maybe a partial day where we do our own thing. I don't think for me, probably it would include sex because it takes me a long time to be attracted to somebody anyway.
Maybe that scenario when no one knows you and you're completely anonymous and you're going to these crazy, wild, high sexual tension environments, that might be different. It might be different.
Maybe. But right. It also, that almost feels like pressure to me, which turns me off. So I would imagine,
there you go. So it's already
even if you gave me that, even if you gave me that freedom and you're like, yes, if something happens, go for it. And then I knew that I could do that and there'd be no repercussions.
Yeah, that's what
I
would do.
My guess is I wouldn't find anybody I was interested in doing anything with. But what would be interesting about it is just me following my interests and wandering around by myself, talking to different people.
It's an interesting thought experiment to think of what anyone would do who's listening to this if they had total personal freedom to do whatever they want, which is a big part of the appeal of Burning Man. You really can do that.
Yeah.
And to go do it and see where the wave takes you. We don't have any other place other than lifestyle where you can really do that.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of the appeal, is that it's all that judgment is taken away. And a lot of the paradigms you were talking about earlier are not there.
Yeah.
And so I think once you get to that point in the lifestyle, you're almost like, wow, I'm really feeling the power of this. I'm feeling like it's, and that's why women do talk a lot about being much more empowered in the lifestyle than they are outside.
Yes.
And that's really interesting. I think that's a good thing. And yeah, and I think for me, I just wonder if I picture us at Burning Man and you're off on your own, I'm like, what would I do with myself? Can I just forget about you and just go to, because first of all, I don't like to burn unless I have a companion because it's just so much more fun. Right. I don't have any reason to go off on my own and
even, I don't either.
Even try and pick up women and stuff. It's just not, it doesn't appeal to me. So for me, it would be like a gift to you. Go do this thing and find yourself and do that. For me, it'd be like, oh, okay, I'm bored now. I guess I'm going to wait the 4 or 5 hours it's going to take to get your bag
maybe,
off, you know.
Maybe one day if you're napping for an hour.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be max. We like to, because I really enjoy your company.
But there's and I think we're talking about something bigger, which is the appeal of especially a woman doing whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
And I don't know another scenario where you can, I can't think of one where you could really do something like that, where there's zero consequence in terms of just
judgment
and making sure that your partner's okay and making sure that people don't see you a certain way. And I think that's just fascinating. And that is a lot of what I think lifestyle brings, is that, is especially once you get to the point where, like, we go to a group play and it's something you want to do and you were doing it and you were feeling that freedom, which I think is what our friend was talking about. She was telling you about a guy she was just super attracted to that she ran into at that hotel party that she got to go up and kiss. And she was like, oh my God, this guy was so hot. He's like my perfect man or whatever. And she got to go do that. And in what scenario would you get to just go kiss the hottest guy in the room?
No.
And your partner's totally fine with it. And actually, he set it up for her. She was interested in him.
Able
and he
to
said,
express
let me...
that to her partner. I would be afraid to do that. Like, I was thought about that. I was like, wow, that just seems like I am supposed to wait. I am supposed to be passive and wait for men to come to me. I am not supposed to be aggressive in any way or express interest or ask for what I would want, because that's
frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. That's just not done. Makes you look like a slut, which makes you not desirable.
And what was the outcome for her on that?
It was fantastic.
Yeah, she loved it. She was so giddy about it.
Yes.
And he actually went and set it up because she was talking about him and she's, wait a second. And he went over there and said, hey, can she kiss you? And he said, of course. And that's then amazing. She got what she wanted and she was excited about it.
First of all, nobody's going to say no to kissing her. Beautiful.
Or you.
Oh, you're sweet.
100%.
But yeah, being able to own your own desires, that is new. Being able to state them. It's not that I haven't ever felt them, but being able to state them first to you and then eventually act on them. But God, that feels dangerous. It feels like a trick. Oh, you proved you're a slut. Now I'll never marry you.
You've been waiting for this whole thing to turn into a, see, I knew.
I knew it. I knew you were not trustworthy.
Trying to test you with all this stuff. And no.
I'm going
to
go marry somebody with a 2 body count.
That's boring.
I know. Oh, God.
There aren't many of those anyways.
Nah. You're probably right.
No, it's funny because just like you said, that's what you're struggling against is this. What I'm supposed to do in the societal norms and how you're thinking is that you're questioning that now. You're questioning where you fit in that. And I think that's all good, healthy growth. I really do.
And this is going to continue to evolve. I can see it every week. We have more thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
We've grown so much since we've even started recording this, which has only been like maybe a month.
Yeah, right.
Good grief. And a lot of this is because we talk so much and because we have a group that's pretty active and we get to see people often, which is really good for the way that I work. Familiarity, I think, is going to help me get more comfortable with different scenarios.
What's going to be really amazing is in a year,
yeah,
we look back on this and we listen to this recording and you're like, wow, I was just like, I know we'll progress in that year. I'm just wondering in what ways and how it'll all unfold. It's just really interesting to think about how we will change because we've changed so much since starting this.
Yeah.
Change our attitudes, change our level of jealousy, our fears.
I've become more jealous. Or no, actually, I haven't become more. I've just started expressing my jealousy as opposed to stuffing it.
Which has been a huge growth opportunity for us.
Yeah.
Because I think we mentioned this before, when I didn't think you were jealous, I was like, well, doesn't she even care at all that this might happen? And so it had the opposite effect on me. It wasn't like you were being jealous and that would bother me. It was you weren't being jealous and that sort of bothered me. It was like, does she not care? I accepted it. It didn't really make a difference in my head. But when you told me that, you're like, yeah, I really was jealous in the situation. I'm like, oh my God, that's sweet. That's just really sweet. And I was validated in a way that I wasn't just interchangeable, right? But that's the effect, especially when before we broke up, you were like, no, go fuck someone. I don't have time. Go do this. And that was hurtful to me because I was like, does she want me to go do this? And
totally
not spend time with her. And at the time you didn't know, and you were just trying to make a solution for the time issues that we had. But when you came around and now I know that your honest thoughts about it, that's where I want to be, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Like your honest thoughts to me are what's important. And we've gotten there through this process.
Yeah.
I'm able to really understand where you're coming from and know what it is that kind of triggers that fear in you. And I can adjust for that. So I think it's amazing. And again, I can't say I'm without fear or without jealousy or without any of that kind of possessiveness that I've also been trained in my life. But I'm certainly able to manage it.
It helps so much to talk about it. I mean, have you noticed how quickly I'm able to get over it once we've talked about it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, maybe not completely get over it, but at least I can start to laugh at myself pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. And admitting that what I'm feeling is not based in reality, but is still feeling in my body that I can't get rid of. And that's super annoying. And just calling it what it is. Being able to talk about it is extremely helpful.
And that's basically the theme of all these recordings has been being able to talk about things.
Yeah.
Whether you're monogamous, whether you're exploring, whether you're already in lifestyle, just that communication level, it dissipates a lot of the fear, a lot of the worries, the programming that you have already. That communication just unwinds all of that. And that's just the best thing. It really is. We keep saying that and we keep talking about the communication, but that really is at core what this is all forcing. And that just brings us closer. And that is deepening our commitment, just like the title of the podcast. That's exactly what's happening from that. So I'm excited. I couldn't imagine a relationship like this in my life. And so many people are experiencing this in the lifestyle. We're not promoting it necessarily. People who aren't ready for it or it's not for them, that's fine. And if you're just listening and you're curious, that's great. You're learning about it. Awesome. Apply it to your monogamous relationship. Go do that because that will help. At least the lessons of communicating, of sharing your wants and desires, needs, fantasies with your partner. Because it can do nothing but bring you closer. If it brings you further apart, if someone's too fear-based to hear it, that's something to consider. What is it about them that's causing that reaction? and how can you approach it maybe in a different way. But I think at core, it's just so important to have that level of communication. If you really want that deep love, you can always have a less deep love, a shallow love, or something that just works for you, totally fine. But if you want that deep connection, it's going to take deep conversations mm-hmm. about things that are uncomfortable sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's just fact.
And you may or not, may not be ready for it. You reminded me that we started a field profile like over a year ago, and then I freaked out and was like, no, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. I was not comfortable. And that was because we were not at a place in our relationship yet where I felt really secure. I felt good, but that when I look back, I'm like, that is why. I just didn't feel secure enough in the relationship at the time to be able mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a year and a half, our communication and our relationship is rock solid. And I'm the one listening to podcasts and sending them to right. you and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Yep. And I had literally completely forgotten that we had tried it before until you mentioned it on the, mm-hmm. one of the previous podcasts. And I was like, yeah.
And so your partner that was at a really good time for us because we had gone to yes. the burn and we had done all those things.
The burn for me was traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was seeing you at the orgy dome. I was still feeling like really jealous, and it was hard for me to see you kiss somebody else, much less have sex with somebody else. I had not listened to myself, and I had sex with a guy that I didn't want to. I was just people pleasing. So I was still like really raw from all that. Whereas you were like, wow, it was fantastic.
Let's do it again.
I'll do more of that. And so we were not in the same place.
Yeah, right? No, you're right.
At all.
That's right. And that's why I was so confused.
And so like you may be at that phase too. So just be patient with whoever is not ready. If the rest of your relationship is good and you're willing to stick it out, they may come to you later. Yep. If you don't push them, then that's exactly yeah. what happened with us. You just accepted it. You weren't happy about it, but you didn't bring it up again. Well, I think we still talked about, we've never said we were going to be totally monogamous. I think we were always open to talking about the issues, mm-hmm. but it felt a step too far for me yeah. at that time to be on a dating app about it.
Yeah.
It felt very official.
Yeah. And for me, it was like going into the unknown.
Yeah.
Because like, I didn't know what was going to happen, but let's try that. Let's put that. We had fun looking through the profiles and seeing who matched with us and having, you know, initial couple conversations with it. But then something, and you just like, it was a bad day or
yeah.
I don't know what it was, but, or maybe something I'd said or done that kind of you snap and you're like, wait, I need to protect. This is not what I want. And that totally makes sense. That's just totally natural at that point. And you're right. If I had kept pushing you on that, you would have retreated.
Yeah.
And so I think that's another lesson for anyone's considering lifestyle is that you really can't push someone into it. It's dangerous to do that because A, if they're not ready and they do it, they're violating their own integrity really.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it for you in the relationship, which is not healthy. Or B, they're just not ready and you push it and it just becomes a rift. So yeah, these are conversations you want to have over time, titrating, baby steps, if that's what the situation calls for, and understanding the signals. A lot of the stories we hear about people getting a lifestyle are someone mentions it, the other one says, I don't know what you're talking about, I would never do that. And then the seed is planted, and then over time, they pick up on, I wonder if he really wants that, maybe I could consider it, or maybe I'll listen to a podcast or read a book.
Yeah.
And that's how it happens over time for a lot of people.
And sometimes maybe you're too far apart, and you're just never going to be, right? And you'll know this. You're listening to this, you're like, oh, my relationship could never get there, right? And that entirely could happen. I think with your ex-wife, like, there's no way she was ever going to grow into that kind of situation.
She had way too much fear that was never addressed,
And so my ex-spouse, same thing, that was never going to work. We just didn't have the intimacy, the friendship that would even make that kind of, that thing possible. The level of communication you'd have to have. But I think with us, we did have a base of really close friendship and really great communication that I think you were, okay, like, she's saying no now. But I think you probably also knew that there was so much good in our relationship that it wasn't worth ending the relationship
I did think that at the time. You said, I'm not doing this. And I remember I recounted this in an earlier podcast that I was disappointed because I'm like, I thought we were talking about all this stuff. And then suddenly it's just the hammer came down.
Yep.
And we've been talking about it since we started dating. And I'm like, okay. And I had to make a decision. This is someone I love. So I guess I'm just going to have to just give that part of me up. And I was ready to do it. And I think
I did, for a while. Yeah.
And that kind of took the pressure off because I didn't talk about it anymore. And then we went through our breakup and then we came out of it much closer. And then we decided to deepen and go in with both feet. And that's where it germinated from there.
Yeah.
That we could start talking about it again. And then
we were seeing each other all the time. Mm-hmm. We got really close. And I felt like we were super, super solid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay.
So the now seed, I can the see. The seed was planted.
It's the seed was planted. Yeah. And it's almost like when the seed was planted, my life was so chaotic with work and divorce and kids. Mm-hmm. I did not have the bandwidth for it. And now I do.
So bandwidth makes a big difference.
Like yes.
Having your mind at rest so that you can explore these things.
Yeah, if you're in panic mode in the middle of a divorce with a terrible ex-spouse berating you and driving your kids around and you're not sleeping and you're overworked.
Yeah, probably not the most fertile environment for talking about lifestyle.
Yes.
But it can come later. And again, I think that the basics are if you're really close friends, if you can communicate or start to communicate, even if you haven't before, mm-hmm. if you can bring up desires, wants, needs mm-hmm. without repercussion, that's the foundational start to it. Mm-hmm. If you're examining your own relationship right now, we really don't talk that much. Maybe you could change that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could go off on a trip together or spend a date night together and talk about things that are interesting.
Get some of those get to know you cards that we were talking about, the truth and dating game. Go get that. You ask each other every single question in that box. It is amazing. We took a month trip this summer and we took all of these. We have multiple games with all these questions. And we ask each other every single question over the course of that month, and we still learned things about each other.
We did.
Never stop learning about your partner. It is incredible.
And if you can both get in those games, it's fun, right?
So fun.
And the cards give you an out to answer them, right? If I asked you just straight up, and what do you think about this, you might react to that. But if the card asked me that,
wonder if there's like ulterior motive.
There's something behind it, right?
Right.
And if do you really want to do that then? That's what my ex-wife said when I was reading Sex at Dawn. She was like, do you want to be polyamorous? I'm like, I'm reading a book. I mean, with her, I knew it would never happen, but I was just very curious. I remember in that book, I'll give a spoiler here. If you're going to read Sex at Dawn, which I highly recommend, by Christopher Ryan, this whole book is about what our true natures are sexually. The book talks about all the reasons why we are not naturally programmed to become monogamous in the traditional sense. And I remember this clearly. I was very disappointed by the end of the book because he basically says, it was a very short paragraph, and he basically says, if you have the opportunity to talk about these things with your partner and you're not pair bonded yet, you're in good shape. But if you're already in it, then you might as well just give it up, is what I took out of it. I remember being disappointed. Like, I guess I'm just doomed to ever experience this. So my life has been in this monogamous relationship, which wasn't a terrible one, but it took that opportunity away from me by saying, yeah, you're screwed.
I think it can be a challenge if you're trying to change horses midstream. Although that's most people in the lifestyle, and they seem to do it well.
But we did not have the core friendship.
And your wife, no.
No. And mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people listening to this might have that. Hey, we're great friends. We love to go on trips together. We love to play sports together. We like to watch the same things, and we share a lot. And we go to concerts and all that. And you have that core-based friendship where you like being with that person. That's, I think, essential basic element of it.
I think that's it for this one.
Okay.
Do you have anything else?
I want to encourage people to reach out to us. So we have a Facebook group up now. We have our profile on Facebook if you want to go there. That was the only platform we could find that we could really have conversations. Reddit banned us for some reason. We put up one post on Reddit, and they're like, you can't promote here. Bye. And they killed us. But Reddit does that. But so we're on Facebook with that, and we have email there too. So I'd encourage anyone to reach out to us. We'd love to get those conversations. You will definitely get an answer from us. And we'd love to get the conversation started. So if you're listening to this, go there.
What is our Facebook? How do they find us on Facebook?
It's on the show notes.
It's in the show notes. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Down below show notes. And it's Hacking Love Podcast.
It's a private group. So you'll have to ask to join and we'll let you in.
Yes. So we can talk about all the things.
Yes. We want to hear questions, comments, mm-hmm. ideas, thoughts, and all the stuff.
And we might use that group if it's private. We might use it for more detailed sort of sharing stories with our followers.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah.
We get a critical mass.
I know.
To have some people in it.
Exactly.
So join us.
All right. See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.